Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women, real talk with wise, dynamic women leaders. I'm your host, Julie Noonan, CEO and founder of Intuitive Wisdom Coaching, and I'm living my dream life. I live and work in my RV, coaching senior women leaders as they navigate corporate politics, family drama, and personal goals to live their own dream lives. These women are restless. They are never done seeking new opportunities, learning, and creating value in the world. If you'd like to apply to be on the show, stick around to the end and I'll let you know how. Let's go.
Welcome to the 100th episode of Roaming with Restless Women. I have selected some of my most favorite people to come on and share with you all a little bit about their stories to highlight, you know, their episodes from the past, but also to talk about just being a woman and a wise woman at that in this day and age. So welcome everyone. I'll introduce Christy Halverson, Cherie Karandanis, and Joelle Kaufman. Welcome guys to the show.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited. The first thing that I want to do is to get you guys to share with me and with the audience a little reminder about your backstory and what your message is for right now. Where are you in that message, in that process? So, Cherie, we're going to start with you. And why are you in the car?
Because I am a roaming, restless woman.
There you go.
Literally roaming today. No, we are moving our youngest son into college today.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm outside of his new little apartment and I'm getting it. I have a podcast to do, so I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Oh, man. Can you imagine that kind of dedication? You are such a woman, I'm telling you. So,
Thank God for technology.
Oh, you know it. You know it. So tell us about your backstory there, Cherie. How did we meet?
Sure.
Tell me about what's going on with you.
So I started off as a nurse in my career. I always wanted to be in healthcare, and so I did get into nursing. And at the beginning of my career, I was I joined the Air Force. And my dad was in the Air Force for, I don't know, 27 years. So I was familiar with the Air Force life. And thought that might be a more exciting way to be a nurse than to just show up at a hospital every day for the rest of my life. and so I joined the Air Force and it was an amazing experience. I started in the ICU, I was trained in the ICU, and then they trained me to be a critical care flight nurse. What that means is we are little teams of three, so a doctor, a nurse, and a respiratory therapist, where we set up mini ICUs in any opportune aircraft in wartime situations. So when they were training me, we weren't in a wartime situation, and then 9/11 happened. That threw me into a wartime situation. And so I was deployed to Afghanistan and was able to be a CCAT nurse there. And it was the honor of my life to serve our troops and to get these men and women home in one piece as best we could. So I did that. I was in the Air Force for about 6 years. And when I got back from those deployments, I was married. I got married to John, my husband. And we wanted to have children. And it was heartbreaking to see men and women having to leave their babies behind on deployments. And I didn't want to do that. And so I decided to separate from the military. And then separating from the military, we moved to Portland, Oregon, where my husband's family is. And I sensed that I was kind of getting burnt out of the ICU scene. I had just done it for long enough. And I think the deployments and 9/11 and war, it just wore me out. And I, with no plan in mind, I fell into hospice work, which is what I did for the next 15 years. And I loved it. It was such an amazing, sacred opportunity for me to step into people's lives during that time. It was just so beautiful. So I really enjoyed that, got my master's degree during that time, and then became a hospice nurse manager. And so that was next level, because then I could take care of the caregivers. And so I really enjoyed doing that. And then in 2019, I did suffer two brain injuries. And I really didn't think, I mean, they were pretty, I thought, oh, they're just really bad concussions. I'll be fine. I'll just recover. It'll be fine. I'll get back to work. It'll, and that's not what happened. They were pretty significant brain injuries. And so I wasn't recovering the way I thought I was going to. And so after a couple years of trying to rehab, I just didn't feel safe going back into practice. I didn't feel like I could give my patients the assurance that I felt safe as a nurse, and I couldn't trust my brain anymore. And so I did retire my license in 2020, which was a heartbreaking decision for me because that's who I was. That's Cherie the nurse. Like, that's who I was to everyone. And so I did, I went through dark, dark time. I fell into depression and anxiety. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I had to offer the world. My brain wasn't working. And so even just literally my brain not working made me feel like, who, what am I? Because I wasn't even functioning the way I thought I could. And then we at one of the brain rehabs, that one of the doctors said, Sheree, the left side of your brain has been damaged. You've really got to fire up the right side of your brain. And I didn't know what that meant. I said, well, what does that look like? And he said, that's like mindfulness, meditation, presence. And okay. And so I didn't know what it meant. I said, and he gave me a coloring book and try there. And so I did. And I hated it. And I thought, well, creativity is not going to be in my future. But then I saw YouTube where a lady was painting on really large canvases. And that just broke me open. There was something about her, and the way she painted was abstract. And I understood immediately that she wasn't painting anything recognizable. She was painting her feelings. And at that time, I had a lot of feelings to paint. And so I started doing. Yeah, it's all I know how to do.
Well, you're
I
blessed, I'll
love
tell you.
connecting with people through it. Thank you.
So let's move from that to Joelle. Joelle, let's hear about your story.
I am a intergenerational cancer survivor, a successful tech executive, and a mom of three. And I thought I might have dodged the bullet on cancer. My mother, I was 36 when she was diagnosed. My sister was 29.
Oh
I
my
got into
gosh.
my 50s and hadn't had it. I'd done some preventative surgery, but I didn't have preventative mastectomies. So I scheduled it. I said, okay, I'm never going to be as strong. I've used them, they've done a good job, but now, like, let's take this risk off the table. And I was diagnosed the day before my prophylactic bilateral mastectomy was scheduled. So that's kind of an FU from the universe, right? And that began my journey through chemotherapy, through surgery. But having 40 plus years to prepare for it armed me in a way very few people are prepared. And I had an approach to this journey. And the approach evolved into, how do I make this journey full of moments of happiness? I call them happiness tripwires, but full of moments. How do I advocate for the kind of journey I want? Like, I want to go watch my kid play baseball in Florida after 4 weeks of chemo. Can I do that? Yes, you can. You just have to ask, and you have to go. My chemos were on Wednesday, so I could go on Thursday till Tuesday. I had to be back by Wednesday. Okay, I can make all that work. I live in California, by the way, so that's a cross-country back and forth. But I wanted to see him, wanted to see baseball. My other kids, how we would deal with it, I had a plan. I didn't have a plan to have cancer, but once cancer showed up, I had a plan. And I started writing. I was writing and writing and writing on my caring bridge, as a way to process my feelings and also to prevent people from asking me or my family members or my good friends, how's she doing? What's going on? Because, right, you mean well. You mean well. It comes from a place of love, but oh my God, it's such a drag. So
And
That's right. Yeah.
talk about what carrying bridges for those who haven't had the
Sure.
opportunity to use it.
So Caring Bridge is a very simple blogging platform where you control who has access to it and people can comment. There's no feed. You're not getting lots of other people's sob stories or whatever. It's this is my Caring Bridge. This is where you can find out about my journey, my care. And you might have other people's caring bridges, but you have to go to their caring bridge. So it's very contained. It's very private if you want it to be, which I did. It's not advertising supported. It's supported by people in the community donating. But I created a caring bridge the day I was diagnosed when I announced to everybody, because all these people thought I was having surgery. I said, here's where you can get updates. And then I just really loved writing them. And I guess, I'm restless. I like to process my feelings. I like to go, go, go. And so I started writing. And when I got to the end of my chemotherapy, my doctors were like, your labs don't look like a cancer patient. You've approached this differently than anybody else I've seen. And let me be clear, I didn't change how I ate. I didn't eat raw food because you don't want to do that when you have chemo. And I didn't have alcohol because you don't want to do that when you have chemo. But other than those two things, I did everything the same. I still exercised the same. I worked. I mean, I tried very hard to manhandle can or womanhandle cancer womanhandle cancer into one day a week to the extent that I could. And the other six were mine unless I was feeling a little bit lousy. Okay. So one oncologist says that people were telling me they missed my writing when I stopped. And I realized that maybe my calling in having been the daughter, the sister, the sister-in-law, the granddaughter, and finally the patient was to be the life ring for other people who haven't been to the worst amusement park in the world over and over and over. And so I wrote the book, and then I started the podcast this last June, Kicking Cancer's Ass, because I want people to know the every story you've seen on TV or movies or in a book about cancer is cancer as dramatic plot device.
Yes,
That's
it
your
controls the
story.
narrative after it's announced.
Right. And I mean, cancer will, it's a torpedo through your life. Like, I don't want to minimize it. But there's 20 million cancer survivors walking around the United States. If you have a non-metastatic breast cancer, which I did, you have like a 99% survival rate. Like, that's not what's in the movies because, frankly, it doesn't make for good TV. There's no drama, right? I tell people I was diagnosed on January 9th. I was cancer-free by May 4th. Like, it's not that dramatic a story. So, and most people's stories are you get through it. You get through it. And then you discover how loved you are. Then you discover how many people you matter to. Then you discover that little things like your son writing you a letter from college every week of your chemotherapy can be such a boost that it actually bolsters your immune system. Right? And so I want that to be the stories about cancer, about how we live in community. And you don't have to know people well. There are strangers that I have been introduced to. They're like, would you talk to my friend of a friend who just got diagnosed? And I do. And they say, wow, I feel like I can do this. I feel hope. And I can't believe you care about me. And I was like, of course I care about you. You're a human being who's walking the face of this earth. And if I can make this part of your journey just a little bit better, then my journey on this earth has been worthwhile.
100%.
This episode is sponsored by me. So, as a special gift to you, our listeners, I offer a free 1-on-1 15-minute breakthrough session. Bring a problem and an experience how coaching works to see if it could be of value to you. Sign up for an available time on my website, intuitivewisdomcoach.com.
And speaking of journeys, I'm going to move to Christy because Christy is the queen of journeys. So, Christy, let's hear from you. What is your story?
Well, I don't want to go all the way back to the beginning, but
Give us the high points.
I know since Sherry and Joelle started with their careers, I'll start there. So I started out as a mechanical engineer and in my early 20s and made a whole lot of money to play with military jet engines, fighter jet engines. And I hated it. It was so boring. I was just like, I can't sit this behind this computer every day the rest of my life. And I fell into firefighting. I just loved it. And so I was a volunteer firefighting. I couldn't wait till 5 to get off work. I'd go straight from engineering to the firehouse. And oftentimes I'd sleep there all night and run calls and then come back and then play with the jet engines in the morning. And then I couldn't wait to get out of that office and go back. And I always say it's one of the best decisions of my life. At the age of 23, everybody I knew thought I was nuts because firefighting's, it's a labor job. You need a high school
Dangerous
diploma.
too.
It's dangerous. You don't need higher education. You can if you want, but you just need a high school diploma and a little bit of adrenaline, be a bit of an adrenaline junkie and want to help people, and you're great. You can go be a firefighter. So everybody I knew, even my professors, were like, "What are you doing? Are you nuts?" I was the only one that thought this was a good idea. And I jumped ship and I went and took a massive pay cut and started as a rookie firefighter. And I remember just the first week at work, well, 2 weeks into work, I got this paycheck and it was so minuscule. It was like miniature compared to my other paychecks. I remember getting this paycheck thinking, oh my God, they're going to pay me to do this. Like I was just like, it didn't matter how much, I would have done it for free. And I joke around that for most of my 14 years as being a firefighter, it felt like I got paid to go to summer camp. I'm like, you can't beat this. And between helping people and then doing really cool stuff, and then just the camaraderie of being in the station and having that family atmosphere and living with the guys for 24 hours out of every 72, I just loved it. And I was actually the first female firefighter on my shift. It was at a somewhat rural area in Southwest Florida. And then I ended up being the first officer, first station officer, female. And that was a lovely thing. And then I just got to a space where I was curious about something else. So I went to coaching school. I went to back to college for a coaching certificate, like business life and executive coaching. And that actually helped me in my firefighting career. And then there was a point in time where I had this crazy dream. I got exposed to some chemicals and had and got an autoimmune disease from firefighting. And then I tore my ACL on duty. And they told me I'd had to sit behind a desk for at least 9 months when my knee healed. And I was just like, oh, I remember what that's like. And I'm not
I'm not
that job.
going back.
Yeah. And so needless to say that the sitting at the desk for 9 months and then realizing what, I remember telling my mom, I'm like, it's weird, but this job I love is trying to kill me. Like between the sickness and the ACL. So then I had this dream of traveling full time in an RV once I retired. And I said, you know what? I left, jump ahead a few years later. I actually did it. So at 38, I just put in my notice, sold my house, had an Airstream and a truck and just jumped in and hit the road. And it was, I'm part of me was so excited. I couldn't wait to go. And the other part of me was like, what am I doing? Who am I? Who does this? Because I didn't just set off on this planned journey. I literally drove away from the house that I lived in for almost 12 years. And I decided I don't want to know where I'm going next. I'm gonna cattywample. And cattywampling just means traveling towards unknown destinations, being open to all possibilities and not predicting the future. And in my and at first I thought it meant in regards to travel. But what I like to tell people is that first year was really hard. Really, really hard. And I looked back at a certain, once I was on the road for a few years, and I realized, oh my gosh, without knowing it, I sent myself on a modern day walkabout, just like the Aboriginals do. And that's, I had to go to the dark night of the soul to go through the other side. And my philosophy and view and way of living just completely shifted and changed. And my friends that have known me through the last 10 years or so are like,
I don't even know this person that you are now. And I just
Ah.
had a 2-hour conversation with one of my best friends who we began, he was one of my firefighters. He was when I was a lieutenant. And we're closer than close now. And he and I just had a 2-hour talk today because he just finished my book. And he was just like, "Who are you?" Because what I saw, I know you're being a rambling woman, you want to know what did we see? What came of our journey of wandering and roaming?
Yeah.
And like that's what my book is, a year in the life, but it really is just story after story of saying, most of us go through life feeling either trapped or waiting for someday, like, oh, someday
Yeah.
I'll fill in the blank. Or we should ourselves to death, like I'd love to do this, but I should be doing that. And so to me, both my life and my book is about showing through story and showing through real life experience that we all have permission to live the life that's calling. Like, and I, the people I met along my journey for the last, that was in 2017. I didn't mention that. So I've been on the road full time since 2017. I'm helping my mom out now. She's on her own cancer journey, and I'm here helping. I'm in North Florida right now, but in my Airstream's right outside. But yeah, that's the essence of what I've seen, is we can truly follow the what I like to call the tickles of our soul, even when we're like, that sounds pretty out there. If something inside of us is nudging us or pulling us or dragging us, we can trust that. And in fact, life becomes incredibly amazing and maybe not easy, but super simple when we do. And so to me, my life and this book is just, it's a catalyst for conversation and a myriad of subjects to help all of us realize that we can follow those nudges and life is much more simpler than it seems.
A 1,000,000%. I can tell you, Christy and I met through a mutual friend, because I'm a coach, she's a coach, and a mutual friend of ours is also a coach, and he told me I needed to talk to Christy because
Totally.
of the living full-time in an RV. And so, we had my husband and I had our 2 years on the road, and things changed. And I thought, okay, I'm living my dream life, but is there another dream life? And when my daughter had my grandbaby, I realized my dream life was no longer being on the road full time. It was being near her and the baby and her husband and my other child, helping them build their own businesses. So, for a little bit, I thought, oh man, I'm giving up my quote unquote dream life. No, not really. I think I'm going to turn my RV in and get a littler one, and we're still going to hit the road for more than, 2 days at a time. And we may go back on the road full time when we retire. But the nice thing about it is, all of us have certain journeys, but all of us have things that we've learned along the way that we can share. And that's what Roaming with Restless Women is all about, is meeting women just like all of you and hearing, wow, what did they learn through their journeys? What are the parallels in my journey? So what I want to know from all three of you is, you've been through these extraordinary experiences. You're kind of on the other side of it. I know, Christy, you're literally in the middle of launching a book, and that's a big deal. But what is your drive now? Like, what is your next thing? Or are you just very comfortable where you are, and that is your next thing? Tell me about that. I'll start with you, Joelle.
So I would say most of my life I had a plan. All right, you're going to go to a good school, you're going to work, you're going to go to graduate school, you're going to get a job, you're going to get married, you're going to have your kids, you're going to build a career, you're going to. And thankfully, things actually happened mostly more or less on plan and mostly really good. And now, I coach C-suite executives, and I call myself an executive performance coach. And I have all this stuff I do about changing the whole narrative on cancer, which is kind
Right.
of my side hustle.
Yeah.
Some hustle.
That's a huge side hustle, honey.
That's a huge side hustle. I got a lot of things shaken. So, or not as much. They don't shake as much when they're remade. Anyway.
Or when they're my size.
Yeah, they use my belly fat to make them the size I wanted, and they're
Oh.
the same size, but I'll never need a brassiere unless I want one again. It's one
Oh,
of
amen.
Right?
That's awesome.
Worth it right there.
It's one of the perks of new boobs. We just, like, my whole family, all the women were like, they're new.
Love it.
So, okay. But what, for the first time in my life, I don't have a plan.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm collywaddling.
Coddy-wompling.
Coddy-wompling. I am watching things unfold. And I just dropped my third child off at college. And she's at a very big school. And she said, like, how do I make friends? How do I whatever? And I said, honey, there are so many people at this school. You think of it as an all-you-can-eat buffet that's open 24/7. Take something off, cook it, put it back,
Yes.
Take something else, take a bite. All right. That's life.
Yes.
And so my life is good. It's rich. It's wonderful. And I can savor the buffet, and I'm confident it will nourish me.
100%. Cherie, what about you?
I am in my season of saying yes. I'm just saying yes to every opportunity that comes up and not being afraid to say yes, because I think before I just stayed kind of in my swim lane, like stayed in my pay grade and was like, okay, I know I'm good at nursing. I know I'm good at this. I'm good. And I'm just going to stay there. But now it's like life is just offering me so many opportunities now. Like the newest thing is I'm being invited to women's retreats where I serve as a facilitator and I can teach. And a lot of the women's retreats are around perimenopause, which is interesting, and
Yeah.
how to encourage women that change can be faced with hope and with strength. And if you use your creativity, it just is like amplifies the experience of being so strong. And you know that you can be in that difficult time, but still, as long as you have that community and you have, you know, those support systems in place and tap into your creativity, whatever that looks like, that it does offer hope. And I'm so inspired by you guys, because I'm in the baby stages of starting my own book. And so I think I'm so excited to see, like, Joelle, I don't know what's coming. And I don't have to know. Like, it's the first time that I feel like I don't have to know. Before, I had to know everything.
Yes.
And now I don't have to know, and I'm here for the ride, and all these opportunities are coming, and I'm so grateful. I'm excited to see what's ahead.
Oh, that's great. Now you're going to be an empty nester when you get back home. Okay, that's a whole different ball game right there. Both of you guys, Joelle and Cherie, empty nesting. That's difficult. Okay, so Christy, what after you launch your book in January, what you gonna do?
You know, the way I see it, you know, the book's ready. I have copies. So right now I'm in the unfolding of that. I love how Joelle said the unfolding, because that's actually the name of my book. It's called Perfect Unfolding.
Yes.
And in life, to me, it's always a perfect unfolding, even when it seems like not a perfect unfolding. It actually is. If we just wait, or we could hover above and look down, we'd see how it's perfect. So I plan to make this, you know, this book launch and this message my thing for the next year. That's why I'm like, for a year, I want to be playing in this space and helping the book get out in the world and helping people read this and find their own perfect unfolding. So all that being said, I never know what's coming next. I haven't ever since I started this coddywompling journey. And remarkably enough, in the year that this book is about 1 year in the life, and that year was a few years ago. It's taken a little time to get it in. But during that year of the book, I met some people in the Boston area. And then I met someone else in Virginia. And then somehow in the last few months, all of our worlds have been colliding.
Oh, wow.
And it actually is from the journey, the meandering journey I took and the people I met along the way. And there's a group of us, it's kind of a dream team of people. And we are in the midst, I haven't spoken about this publicly, but we're in the midst of creating a retreat center, unlike any other retreat center that there ever has been, in the midst of hundreds and hundreds of acres of natural forest, in a farmhouse built in the 1800s, with a regenerative farm that we don't use machinery and everything's carbon neutral. And you know, you're in your bare feet in the fields, and bringing executives from all over the world to walk the fields, pick the food that they're going to have for dinner, and have these amazing, this amazing experience in nature and about finding ourselves in a new way. And when I say we have a dream team, we really do. We have this group of people that is just, it's just incredible. And yeah, and some of the people on this team, that's kind of, we're still in the phase, we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're all together. Yeah.
That's how the best things start.
We have all these great ideas. We have one of the leading soil experts in the royal world that just retired from being a professor. We have another person that's been a coach for a quarter century, just retired. We have me, and I'm the youngster. I'm 40. I'm going to be 47, but I'm the baby of the bunch. It's like too good to be true. And we have the space, and we have this plan. And so I can only guess that's what's gonna be coming in next. I mean, who knows? It all could change tomorrow. It all could be like, never mind, this was a great idea, but it doesn't get off the ground. But I just have a feeling that's not what's gonna happen. And I just had my first book event over the weekend, and everybody asked, how long will you do this? How long will you travel like this? Like,
yeah, people just don't, they don't understand that you can do it however long you want to do it.
And since the beginning, believe me, I never would have guessed I'd be sitting here 8 years later, like still doing it. I would never have guessed. I always said, oh, I don't know, a year or two, but I'm like, as soon as I know not to do this anymore, to change things up, I will. And I haven't yet, though, if this space comes to fruition, I can see that I will still roam. But I even said this weekend, I said, I don't know if I'll ever roam how I describe in this book.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So in other words, that was a long answer to a very simple question. I don't know what's next, but I kind of have a feeling my life is going to be much different in the coming months and years. And I might actually be growing roots in New Hampshire.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you can bring Cherie, and you can bring Joelle.
Yes.
Joelle, you can bring people who've been through cancer, and that's an awesome retreat possibility.
Yes.
There too. And executives.
Yeah.
100%. So what drives you crazy right now, guys?
A tickle in your throat. That drives her crazy.
Drives me nuts. Yeah, so what's driving you crazy, either about the world or about your situation? Because things aren't always, you know, cottywomply wonderful, right? So what are some of the things that are coming up for you that are concerning, that you have that you have a positive message for the world about?
I think for me, my brain injury drives me absolutely bonkers. It feels like there's so much I want to do. There's so much I want to get done. There's so much I want to learn. And it's definitely a limiting factor in my life. But my message is that it is also my greatest teacher. It forces me to stop and to reset, and to go back to meditation, to go back to creativity, go back to presence, connection, all of those things that got me out of the crisis of my brain injury. I have to be reminded, and that's why it's such an amazing teacher to me, that it does remind me, go back to the basics, don't get too big, you know, don't get too big, don't get too fast, don't, you know, just, If I just keep doing what I know works for me and keep going back to those things, then I will be able to. It just won't happen as quickly as I want it to, but it will. And I'm doing so many things today. My husband and I were just kind of reviewing, gosh, look at what I'm doing today that I couldn't even do a year ago. And so if I can just keep positive and keep looking at the growth that is happening, that my life might not look like what, because healing to me before was me getting back to 100% of where I was. Well, that is not healing because I am not back to 100% I was, but I'm so much happier and life is so much fuller. And I just I'm so grateful for brain injury. I mean, it is my greatest enemy and my bestest friend.
Isn't that funny of how that
Yeah.
works?
Yeah.
Exactly. Anybody else? What else? What's going
Sure.
on, you guys?
Well, so it's funny, Sherry. Virtually every person I talk to in the cancer world will also say, like, I wish I never had cancer and it has changed my life for the better. So I think that our crucibles are what give us the biggest growth. What
Yes.
I am frustrated by it, because I had my ovaries and fallopian tubes removed at 38, I've been estrogen deprived. I skipped perimenopause. I went from fertile to menopause in a
Ugh.
day, right? And that wasn't that bad, but being deprived of estrogen for 20 years
Yes.
has had some implications. And the implication that annoys me is the cardiac one, because there was nothing I could do about it, and now we got to do stuff, and that's annoying. The implication that really grinds my gears has been the 30 pounds that I added over those almost 20 years, in spite of eating well and not drinking and exercising a lot. And, at this point, I've got doctors that are basically like, we've run lots of tests and circling and come down to, oh, you're struggling to lose weight because you have no estrogen. And we can't actually give you estrogen because of the cardiac stuff. So, I'm a bit of a science experiment, but in order to deal with the cardiac stuff, we have to get the weight off. So it's an interesting thing, and weight, especially for women, but even for men, weight is such a hard thing. There's so much shame and so much feelings of failure around weight. And I mean, I think the GLP-1s are potentially miraculous, but they have implications as well.
They
And
do.
right,
They do.
so I'm you asked the thing that's making me crazy, and that's the one where I'm like, how is it I can do I can be austere, but that's no fun, but I can do it. I don't actually want to live an austere life where I don't enjoy any food or any, like,
Right, no,
F
that's not
that.
living. That's
That is
letting
not
it live
living.
you,
Right. So
right?
that's my answer. And even knowing that this would be something that frustrates me and the cardiac thing, I still would have done the surgery I did 38 years ago, because I think it gave me almost 20 years of no breast cancer and prevented ovarian cancer, both of which on BRCA1 are, on the menu. So I don't regret my choices, but those choices have had consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like we're ever done with our frustration list, right? Yeah. So, Christy, what about you?
Well, it's strange, but the easy answer is nothing really drives me crazy. I'm in this space where I'm just like, even when it's really, really, really hard, I know it's the perfect unfolding. And it gives life a different flavor when I'm like, I don't understand why, but I trust there's a reason, you know? And yet, I think the biggest thing for me, which I've seen for myself over the last many years, and I'm seeing in real time with other people, is how our beliefs get in the way. How our beliefs about, you name it, really, I mean, really get in the way. Not only personally, but the whole world. Like, if we all literally just dropped all our beliefs, we wouldn't have anything but love for each other. There would be nothing but love if we didn't have judgments, expectations, and beliefs. And like my book, it's a beautiful story. And most people are like, they're reading, they're like, oh my God, it's amazing. But there's a part in the book where it brings some hardcore beliefs that a lot of people have to the surface. And it takes this beautiful story of communing with people in nature all over North America. And then for some people, it's like hearing the skid marks. Like there's a point in the book where I think a lot of people are like, okay, I'm done, you know, and what it looks like to me, and I'm not judging anyone. Like I've had people write me all, you know, already and say, I wouldn't have signed up for this if I knew this is what was going to happen. And I'm very open and I'm just like, thank you for letting me know. And everybody has a right to live their life and have their views. And then there's this little part of me that says, I know. And I was just like you. I know. And I was just like you. And yeah, I still have my beliefs, believe me. And that's what the book is about. I thought I was belief free. And I'm like, and then all of a sudden something slapped me in the face. And I'm like, oh gosh, I guess I had beliefs I didn't know I have. And those are the ones that sneak up on us when we're like, no, that's true. And actually it's a belief. And so there's one thing that kind of sometimes, you know, makes me be like, ah, it will be, man, what a space this would be if all of our conditioning, all the things that we're taught about how to live life and what's right and wrong, if we just were as we were when we were born into the world, and we knew, quote, right and wrong. We knew we didn't want to harm our neighbor when we were a baby. We knew that. We know all this stuff, but we're taught other things that get in the way of being fully open to all the love that's available in our beautiful world.
Yeah. Well, part of me 100% agrees, and part of me, and this one little tiny piece of me goes, yeah, but listen to all the things that we love and have experienced because we had to go through all that crap.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is life, you know, if we stayed as a baby our whole life? But I see where you're going with, you know, the biases that people just drag in to not only drag other people down, but also themselves down. And judgment is a big hot button for me. Yeah. So I get that totally.
And there's gifts. There's gifts.
There's millions of gifts that if we are just open to them and see them as a gift, like Cherie seeing the brain injury as her biggest gift and also her biggest challenge, you know, it opens up the perspectives. And the other thing that I think is really, really impactful for all of us to hear just in this conversation of, frankly, four strangers. I mean, I don't know any of you personally, but listen to what we just shared. Four strangers. Our common thread is that we're women who've been through something. Our lives have lived our lives however they've been unfolding. And we're willing to share and support each other and share our stories to help other women. And that's what this podcast is all about and has always been all about. I can't tell you guys how much it has meant to me to have you on the show. I really wish we had another couple hours, and I hope that, you know, you have enjoyed meeting each other. I like to do that as well, as bring people that, you know, normally maybe you would never meet in real life. We're from all over the country and whatever, but now you know three more additional people that you can hang on to and talk to and just connect with, that you've shared your story with. So thank you all for so much for being here.
We'll really have our couple hour conversation around Christy's fire on her land.
Yes. Oh, now that would be
one of her retreats. I'm just going to put it out there.
I would love
that. Be awesome.
Throw me the Thriftless Women retreat. I'll pick some of my favorite ones that I've had. It was awesome. So hard to narrow it down to you guys, I promise you, because there are just so many wonderful, awesome women out there. Just, and I don't even have to hardly even ask. And women are jumping on to be on the show, to share what they've been through and stuff. I don't know if you have seen The new group is kind of new. I don't know how long she's been doing it, but the I do not care. We do not care.
Yes, I love her.
I do. I love her too. And I do not care if I have a professional mic or the right lighting to do a podcast, or that I'm, 62 and losing my words every other minute. I do not care because I get to meet people like you all.
Yes,
And you
amen.
all have enriched my life. So thank you. Thank you very much. Any last words of wisdom for our audience?
I just want to congratulate you. 100
Oh,
episodes is a
yes.
really big deal, and you have created a space, a safe space for women to share their stories, strut their stuff, fly their freak flag, whatever it is. And kudos to you. I know how hard it is to get to 100 episodes. And I think I speak for all of us. We're just honored
Oh,
that you're
thank you.
part of this.
Yes.
Thank
Yes. Yeah.
you.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Congratulations.
guys.
Exactly.
Congratulations for all the wonderful things that are going on in your lives. Folks, if you've enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, share, and I'll share the contact information for our wonderful three guests as well. You really do have to see what they're doing in their lives. They are amazing. Talk to you soon.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.